I don't know what your day is like. I don't know what you're coming from. But you're here now, and that's all that matters. But I got a little clip just to start you off. Maybe your day was like this. Can we show that clip from the Lucy show?
Yes, ma'am. Now, the candy will pass by on this conveyor belt and continue into the next room where the girls will pack it. Now, your job is to take each piece of candy and wrap it in one of these papers and then put it back on the belt. You understand?
I don't know what your day was like, but hopefully it wasn't that bad. So you're here now. That's all that matters. I saw that on Facebook. I had to go get the video clip of that. That was hilarious. Anyway, so hopefully you didn't have a day like that. But all right, let's go. Tonight's message, the title is, If God Be For You, Who Can Be Against You? Look at somebody next to you and tell them, declare it. If God be for you, who can be against you? Look at one more person and tell him in faith, if God be for you, then who can be against you? Yeah. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, if you will, reading from the New American Standard tonight, Romans chapter 8, and want to read that 28th down through that 31st verse of Romans chapter 8, if you'll go with me there. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 through 31, New American Standard. We'll go from there to Genesis 50, 19 through 21. So Romans 8, 28 through 31. Paul, writing under the unction of the Holy Spirit, wrote this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, every now and then in Scripture, God asks a question in Scripture, and he's not asking a question here that he doesn't know the answer to. This question is being asked rhetorically, and the obvious answer, the glaring answer, is if God be for us like that, then there's nobody and there's no situation, there's no circumstance that can come against us. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter 50 now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, then verses 19 through 21. If God be for you, who can be against you? Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. For am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. And so therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And so he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. We know Joseph was speaking to his brothers, but when he said, I'm going to provide for you and your little ones, when they added those folks up, there were 75 people that Joseph was providing for. He began to provide for after that kindness that he showed. Tonight, I want to say three things to you. And number one, the first thing I want to say to you is this. God is good. I want you to close your eyes and say that. Remind yourself of it. Just remind yourself, God is good. You know I'm right about that. My example, my analogy, my proof of the fact that God is good is sitting in your seat. Amen. My proof tonight that God is good has your shoes on. My proof tonight that God is good, you are the proof. You're the proof that God is good.
And the reason I say that is because I know this, God has been so good to you. You can't deny how good he's been to you. Now, first of all, he saved you from a devil's hell. I said, he's so good. He saved you from a devil's hell. You were going there. You were destined to go there. But he saved you from that because he's so good. I said, he's good. Not only that, he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I said, he's good. Not only that, he sealed you with the precious Holy Ghost until the day of redemption because he's good. And he's so good, he placed eternal life down on the inside of you. Really, eternity's already begun on the inside of you. I said, I wish I had an amen. He's been good to you. Not only is he so good, listen, he's been so good, he forgave you every trespass, every sin, thing that you did wrong. God has forgiven you through your sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember it anymore because he's a good God. I said, I wish I had an amen. Not only that, he's so good, he seated you with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. And he gave you the highest seat in the kingdom. I wish I had an amen in here. Gave you and I the highest seat in the kingdom. In fact, when Jesus died, those of us in Christ, we died with him. And then when he was raised, we were raised. And then when he was seated, we were seated with him. Because God is so good. I said, he's so good. He's so good that he has called you by name. He says, I've called you by name and you are mine. You are the apple of my eye. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care what you think. You're the apple of my eye. God is so good. He's so good. He watched over you last night while you slumbered and slept. He's so good. He put bread on your table. He's so good. There's a roof over your head, but God is the one who put it there. He's such a good God. You have faced trials and circumstances, situations, and you know yourself. You didn't know how you were going to make it through. You know yourself. You faced obstacles. You faced hardships sometimes, and you went down on a bended knee with tears in your eyes. But God brought you through again and again because he's a good God. I said, he's a good God. He's done things for you that no man could have done for you. He's opened doors for you. No man could have opened that door. God has watched you going out and he's watched you coming in again. And he made you the head and not the tail. I said, God has lifted you up. You know he's been good to you. He is an awesome, mighty good God. And with his outstretched hand, time and again, he's lifted our feet out of the miry clay. And so you're my witnesses. I don't have to go any further. I don't have to look any further. I know God is good. Looking at you sitting here, I know God is good. You watching me some other venue tonight, but you know in your seat, God has been good to you. He's a good God. And let me say this about our good, good Father. Over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, reading again from the New American Standard. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 9 through 11, talking about his goodness. You know, it's good to remind ourselves that God is a good God. I said, when things are going right, we need to remind ourselves that he's good. And especially when things go wrong, we need to remind ourselves that God, our Father, he's a good God. Matthew 7, verse 9, or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, everybody say how much more, will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? He's a good God, and he's been so good to you. Over in Psalm 5 and verse 12, we see further evidence that God is such a good God. Psalm 5, verse 12 says, for it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. I like that. I said, God's got you all hemmed up. He's got you surrounded with his favor. Oftentimes people do stuff for you, they don't know why they do stuff for you. People want to help you, they don't know why they want to help you. People like you, they don't know why they like you. But I can tell you why they like you. It's because of the goodness of God, the hand of God, the influence of Jesus in your life. God has been good to you. That's why. I said, that's why they like you. God's been good to you. Genesis 39, 2, the Bible said the Lord was with Joseph, and so Joseph became a successful man. Joseph wasn't successful on his own. He was successful because the Lord was with him. And that same God, that same good God, that same good Father, our good Father, he's with you tonight. I said, I don't care what you feel like, he's with you tonight. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 17, still New American Standard, James chapter 1 and verse 17, James chapter 1 verse 17, exploring evidence of the goodness of God. James 1 and 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or no shifting shadow. I like that. I said, if God was good yesterday, he's good today. The Bible said, Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was good in your yesterday, he's good in your present, he'll be good in your future. I wish I had an amen in here. You know, and when both my sons were in high school, we gave them cars. And, you know, when we gave them a car, you know, that was probably their most prized possession, giving them a car. Each of them, when they got to a certain point in high school and ready to graduate and so forth. And you know, I gave them conditions on how to use the car and so forth. But, you know, I gave them a gift. I never took it back. Sometimes we act like our Heavenly Father gives gifts and then takes them back. But our God is El Shaddai. He's not El Cheapo. And he does not give gifts and take them back. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. He blesses us to be a blessing, but he's not giving gifts and then taking them back. And let me say this, he's not the God of the takeaway. He's not the God who takes away, but he's the God who makes a way. And he can make a way out of no way. Ask the Hebrew boys about it. God made a way out of no way. Ask Esther and Mordecai. He made a way out of no way. Ask Daniel in the lion's den. He made a way out of no way. Ask the nation of Israel over and over again. He brought water out of a rock, parted seas. He made a way when there was no way. Our God is an awesome way-making God. Time and then time again, he brought Paul through again and again and again. He made a way when there was no way. And he declared to them, he made them the victor, and he made a way for them, and he showed them that he was an awesome, good God. And as you testify, I can testify myself. I remember one night leaving Tulsa, Oklahoma, headed to New Jersey to see my dad in Memphis, Tennessee. Got on a big DC-10 headed to Newark, New Jersey. And that DC-10 took off about 2:30 a.m. Memphis time, headed to Newark. And we were in our ascent when a big, huge explosion took place. And I'll never forget being on that plane. They had that thing in full throttle, and we had lifted off, and we were headed, and that thing, that big old DC-10 was loaded with freight. Pilots and me and two other people were jump seating. The rest of the plane was packed front to back with freight. And so they had that thing in full throttle, and we were in our ascent, and then just a big boom, and then that big DC-10 just rolled. I just thought it was going to just flip all the way over. And just seeing the pilots, who are normally calm and know what to do in every situation, they were frantic. And they were trying to radio the tower that something had exploded in an engine, and the plane, then it rolled the other way, and then it headed down and rolled the other way. And I was praying in a brand new tongue. Man, I'm going to tell you, when they put that big old bird down on the ground, they brought out the emergency crews and got us to land on one of the emergency landing strips out there. And, oh, man, I was thanking God, saying, you're a good God, and you're a good Father. Yeah. And the thing about it, because he's the God who makes a way out, if he did it for all of them, and if he did it for you, and if he ever did it before, then he'll do it again. I said, he's a way maker, not a gift taker.
And so we know, Romans 8:28 said, we know God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, because he's just that good to you. I said, he's just that good. Secondly, I want to say to you, secondly tonight, not only is God good, but Satan, our adversary, is evil. Satan is evil. I said, God is good, but Satan is evil. He's a liar. I said, he's a thief. He's a murderer. He's an accuser. But I heard the Bible say they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and with the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And you look around, you see any lying, Satan is behind it. You see any stealing, Satan is behind it. You see any cheating going on, Satan is behind it. He is either the direct or the indirect source of every lie, of all stealing, cheating, hurting. Jesus said he was a liar. Jesus called him the father of lies. John 10:10, Jesus said he's a thief. He comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And today, so many people are aware of our Second Amendment rights to own and bear arms, but many of those same people have a gospel bazooka at home unloaded. And if we don't exercise the authority that's been given to us by the head of the church, then the enemy will try to lie and steal and rob from us. Over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible tells you and I, put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the devil's schemes. Over in verse 13 of Ephesians 6, therefore put on every piece of God's armor, New Living Translation, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you will be standing firm. And I said, you may be going through a battle tonight, but let me tell you, the victory's already been won. And if you'll just enforce the victory that Jesus has already won, he already put the devil under our feet, so just put your foot where Jesus' foot is and just enforce the victory. I said, you've already got the victory tonight. Don't let the enemy try to make you think you're trying to get the victory. You already have the victory. Over in James chapter 4, I said Satan is evil. Over in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. So Ephesians 6:11, we're to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. 6:13, we're to resist the enemy in the time of evil. James 4:7, we're to resist the devil. Over in Isaiah 54 and verse 17, Isaiah 54 verse 17, New American Standard. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. I said, I wish I had an amen in here. Amen. The Bible said about you, talking about you personally, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Let me tell you this, the enemy, he's evil. Satan is evil. And the weapon is an attack that he forms. He may form, listen, he has the right to form a weapon. He's the small g, God of this world. But the Bible says that, you know, in this world we're going to have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. He didn't say there would never be a weapon formed against you and I, but he did say this, it's not going to prosper. I said, there may be a weapon formed, but it's not going to work. I said, there may be a weapon that he tried to form against you, but it's not going to prosper. And no matter what the weapon is, you and I win tonight. It doesn't matter what the weapon is, you and I win. Somebody said, well, let me tell you what the weapon is. I don't need to know the weapon. I know this, we win. And your shield of faith is supposed to stand between you and the enemy's weapon. And so God is good. Satan is evil. Here's the last point I want to make to you tonight. People just don't know any better. God is good. Satan is evil. But people, they just don't know any better. Sometimes people do and say things that are hurtful, and sometimes people can hurt you and do different things, but let me tell you, you can't get your eyes on people. Joseph's brothers, they plotted to kill him. When they didn't kill him, they threw him in a pit. After the pit, they sold him in slavery. When he was sold into slavery, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Then he was forgotten in the jail. He was forgotten by the jailer for 2 years. Oh, but a good God was with him through every trial, through every circumstance, through every hardship that people put him through. God was with him. God made him an overwhelming conqueror, just like the promises of God to you and I. I said, you're not just a conqueror, you're an overwhelming conqueror. If that don't make you feel good, then your wood is a little wet. I said, you are not just a conqueror, you are an overwhelming conqueror. He made you and I to be overwhelming conquerors. Not even close. Said, not even close. And so Joseph told him in verse 20, he said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God, my good God, my God who sees what's going on. Joseph said, my God, he meant it for good. He turned it around for good. What you intended to harm me, my God, he stopped it. And then he turned that thing for my good. I said, that's a powerful God. That's the only wise God. He's got the power to see what the enemy tries and then can stop that thing and then turn it around for your good. I said, that's an awesome God. And so over in Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says this, in everything, therefore, treat people the way that you want them to treat you. And that's an important point. Don't get stuck on people. Because people do stuff, egregious stuff, wrong stuff, hurtful stuff. Don't worry about people. You know what? People just don't know any better. Remember this, people are not your problem, so stop fighting with people. Satan, sometimes he uses people like pawns in a chess match. He works through people to try and ruin your day, ruin your week, ruin your month, ruin your year, and ruin your life. But don't let him do it. Don't let him, and don't let him use you. Listen, treat people the way you want to be treated, not the way they treated you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. Don't let people ruin your attitude. The Bible says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2:5. So listen, don't let people make you bitter. People don't know no better. People don't know any better. And sometimes we get caught up on people, what people did, people said, people did, people said. Stop worrying about people. People are not your problem. I said, people are not your problem. Don't let people make you bitter. You have an opportunity to become better. It's a decision. You get bitter, you grow a root of bitterness. You get better, the blessings and the favor of God flow through your life. You walk in that overwhelming victory. Let me tell you this, overcome evil with good. Forgive everybody who's harmed you, especially people who hurt you. Over in Mark 11, 25 and 26, the Bible said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anybody, forgive them so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. I ought to have a bigger amen. I didn't lost my shouting crowd saying forgive people and treat people right. You tell people treat people right, forgive people, you lose the amen. Pray for those who hurt you. Over in Romans 12, verses 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back, never pay back, never pay back, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, so far as you have anything to say about it, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Leave room for the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the power of your word tonight. And Father God, we realize that some part of this message applies to everybody. And so we thank you for Holy Ghost application in the lives of your people. Help your people tonight. Strengthen them. Make a way for them in every way, in every situation, Father. Thank you. You are a good God. Satan is evil. And people, well, they really just don't know what they're doing. But Father God, we trust you. We look past people. We look to you tonight. And we thank you for being our awesome, awesome Heavenly Father. Lead your people over trials, circumstances, through temptations, Father God. Lead your people. Help your people tonight. Strengthen, provide, heal, and touch. Correct whatever is necessary. We'll be careful to give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, you may feel like you want prayer after this message tonight. And that's what these anointed folks are doing up here. You know how we do by now. If you want prayer, ladies, come on up here. Guys, come on up here. And they'll pray with you, agree with you. And you won't leave here the same in Jesus' name. My friend, stand up on your feet. Some of you are new. You were first-time guests tonight. And if you would, we want you to go with our connection team folks. They're the folks who handed you the information. We want to give you a good gift. Pastor Tad was talking about the gift on behalf of our senior pastors and our church family here. We're going to bless you. They're not going to keep you long. We're going to bless you. So we're going to let you slip out right now ahead of the crowd, because if we just let you get intermingled into the crowd, then you might never get back there and get that good gift. And it's not an 8-track tape, contrary to what Pastor Tad is saying. It ain't no 8-track tape. I know, you know. But no, we got a great gift for you. We want to thank you for coming. And if you're looking for a good church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. So let's thank all of our first-time guests one more time. Remember this, God is a good God. He's good. God is good. Satan is evil. People, they don't know any better. So keep your mind on the Lord and let the Lord take you on from glory to glory. If you need prayer, you're coming forward. If not, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you.